This is After Dark number 4, and this is tape number 2, side 1. On this tape, we're going to catch up on some of our reading from different newspapers and trade publications, as well as look at some articles of interest, which you, the subscribers of the DX Audio Service, have sent in to us that we've not been able to feature on our regular magazine. Our first article of interest from the newspapers comes from the Findlay Courier newspaper, and it's a kind of an interesting paper. As many of you know, the cable industry is jockeying around and doing some changes, and many of the broadcasters around the United States are either negotiating for a spot on a cable channel, or they're negotiating to keep their present spot on their cable channel. You probably heard about such terms as must carry and local station. Those are all terms used that come into play with these negotiations between the broadcasters and the cable stations. Let's look at a newspaper article from the Courier newspaper in Findlay, Ohio, from Tuesday, July 27th, 1993. It's entitled, Religious Channel Dropped, and it was written by Mr. Scott Borgelt, who is a staff writer for the Findlay Courier newspaper. The general manager of WTLW TV Channel 44, the Lima religious television station that is scheduled for removal from the local Continental Cablevision lineup next month, plans to discuss the situation Thursday with its cable company counterparts. The Continental subscribers were notified of the coming change late last week. No reason was given, with the notice saying that it's set for sometime after August the 25th. In a statement Monday, however, the cable company listed primary factors as low ratings and the fact that under a new federal cable law, Channel 44, or Cable Channel 20, isn't considered a local channel, meaning Continental isn't obliged to carry it, announcing that several satellite-delivered services will be added to its lineup. Continental also noted limited channel capacity as a reason for the move. Among those satellite services will be at least two of a religious nature, said Daniel Bemis, the company's marketing director. Channel 44 broadcasts religious and other family-oriented programming. Continental will be prepared to announce all the lineup changes within the next 30 days, Bemis says, adding that while Channel 44 will probably be the only one replaced, a number will be realigned. For example, VISN, which offers religious programming to satellite customers on Cable Channel 43, will become part of the basic service. Religious programming is available on the Family Channel, Cable Channel 41 as well, the Continental statement notes. The same is true on Channels 47, which is Cable Channel 14, and Channel 18, Bevis says. While it is not to be considered a local channel by law, Channel 44 does have ties with the Findlay area, says Robert Placey, the station's vice president and general manager. The connection will grow come September when Channel 44 plans to add local news covering Allen and its five neighboring counties, including the Hancock area, where Findlay is located, Hardin County, and Putnam County, Placey says. A number of Findlay students have been involved with the station's program, Straight Talk from Teens, and Findlay comes up about every other week on the daily magazine show, Turning Point, he says. In addition, many calls to the Channel 44 24-hour prayer line have come from the Findlay area, Placey says, making it more than just a television station to some. Losing the roughly 17,000 households, which are Continental subscribers locally, would have a major economic effect on Channel 44, which is on cable in 10 counties in west-central Ohio and extreme eastern Indiana, he says. While the Findlay area doesn't provide the largest share of donations to the station, it does provide substantial part, Placey says. Because the station also sells advertising, that could be adversely affected as well by the removal of Findlay Cablevision, he says. He, Bemis that is, makes a decision based on certain facts, and I don't believe he has all the facts, says Placey. Among the points he intends to make when they meet are the planned expansion of Channel 44's high school sports coverage, basketball currently, and its news potential, he says. Placey says that he believes the addition of news will help the station's ratings, but during the average quarter hour last year, the ratings were still better than or equal to those of 18 other continental channels in Hancock County. The ratings were higher than those of broadcast stations from Cleveland on Cable Channel 8 and Columbus on Cable Channel 22, and as high as those from Cable Channel 17 from Detroit, he says. But Bemis says a Nielsen ratings report covering May of 1991 to February of 1992 indicating that Channel 44's ratings were the lowest among the 14 broadcast channels carried locally. Notice of Continental's intent to drop the channel went out last week because the Federal Communications Commission requires that cable companies provide 30 days' notice when they plan to replace a broadcast channel, Bemis says. Placey said he was notified of the decision on July the 15th. Satellite services will provide the replacements, Bemis says, because programming delivered that way is given a higher value in the FCC's rate-making formulas than broadcast services. Based upon rate structures, the FCC has told cable companies, this is the amount of satellite programming you should have in place, and this is the amount of broadcast programming that you should have in place, he says. Bemis says, we've taken a few calls about Channel 44's status, but Placey says the station, which has been on Continental Cablevision for more than 11 years, has received a strong response, particularly from viewers upset that they couldn't get an explanation for the decision. Some local residents are already formulating a committee in an effort to keep the station on Continental Cablevision's, Placey says. The following day, on Wednesday, July 28, 1993, the Findlay Courier also had this article of interest about WTLW entitled, Lima TV Station is Fighting Back. Again, this article was written by Scott Borgelt, who is a staff writer for the Findlay Courier newspaper. From WTLW's standpoint, the sign outside its Findlay office says it all Tuesday, we need your help. Facing removal from Continental Cablevision's Findlay area lineup after August the 25th, the Lima-based Christian television station is asking its viewers to voice their displeasure in any of several possible ways by calling or writing the cable company, the Federal Communications Commission, or U.S. Representative Michael Oxley, Republican from Findlay, Ohio, and by signing petitions that have been circulating. A committee to keep TV 44 in Findlay is also formulating and will hold an organizational meeting at 7 p.m. Thursday at the station's office in Findlay Village Mall. Let them, that is Continental Cablevision, know that this is something that you don't want, said WTLW General Manager Robert Placey, addressing a crowd Tuesday at a news conference outside the office. Local Channel 44 viewers began contacting the Cablevision office after receiving notice of the change last week, Placey says, adding that they were irate, largely because they hadn't been surveyed first. Callers have heard various reasons for the decision, says Placey. We don't understand why they dropped us. He said that he was told the cable company had an incentive to replace a broadcast station with a satellite-delivered program, but there is nothing in the FCC regulations that require a cable system to drop a broadcaster. Daniel Bemis, director of marketing for Continental Cablevision, acknowledged that Monday that Channel 44, or Cable Channel 20, isn't being dropped to meet a requirement. It's a replacement with satellite service, including some with religious-oriented program, has more to do with meeting FCC guidelines for the amount of broadcast and satellite programming a cable system should have based upon its rate structures, he says. Major factors cited by Bemis for replacing WTLW were low ratings and the fact that the new federal cable law doesn't classify Channel 44 as a local channel, meaning Continental isn't obliged to carry it. Bemis and Placey have scheduled a meeting Thursday to discuss this situation. BEMA says that a Nielsen rating report covered May of 1991 through February of 1992 showed that WTLW's ratings were the lowest among the 14 broadcast channels carried locally. But Channel 44 officials continued to dispute that at the news conference Tuesday, saying that a Hancock County coverage study from 1992 listed the station's ratings as high as or higher than 18 of the 32 signals which receive Nielsen ratings in the country. Among those 18, they said, are broadcast channels from Cleveland and Columbus, as well as the Family Channel, VISN, two other channels which also offer religious programming. Placey also reiterated the ties between WTLW and the Findlay area, noting, for example, that Findlay residents have given their Christian testimonies on Channel 44's daily Turning Point program. That's why a local Christian station is so vital, he says, adding that the station's 24-hour prayer line also provides, unlike other channels, local people who will listen to you and pray for you. Channel 44 opened its Findlay office nearly a year ago because it wanted to be more accessible to people here, Placey says. He noted its intentions come September to add local news coverage that will include coverage of Hancock County, which is Findlay's county, and expanded high school sports coverage. He says that he hopes those factors will give Continental reason for reconsideration. But even if that doesn't happen, WTLW wants to continue serving the Findlay area, he says, telling the crowd that the station will help people pick up its signal by antenna if not carried via cable. Now, how serious are some of the people who are fighting for WTLW? These are a few interesting articles in the Letters to Editor column of the Findlay Courier newspaper. Removing WTLW from cable is an outrage. Attention Continental cable subscribers. This letter addresses the lies and deceit your cable company is using to explain the removal of WTLW 44, Channel 20, from the cable programming lineup. We were outraged enough because this is one of the only stations on the air with programs that you can watch without worrying if every other word is a suitable word for your child or if some star will be hopping in bed with someone in a scene promoting fornication, adultery, or soft porn. Upon calling the local Continental Cablevision office, we were told the decision to drop WTLW was due to an FCC ruling. We were informed that Continental Cablevision had nothing to do with this decision. In fact, Magnate Daniel Bemis of Continental Cablevision had informed Bob Placey, the general manager of WTLW, on around July 15th of Cablevision's intent to drop WTLW. Mr. Bemis stated that he has more incentive to carry satellite-delivered programming rather than carry WTLW as a local broadcast station. What is Mr. Bemis' incentive to pull the only Christian-based channel from the lineup and add yet one more of the same type of programs already on the air? WTLW had a concern and dedication for the local area, including seven surrounding communities. They have set up a service office in Findlay and cover Findlay activities and sporting events. Our local teens have been involved on the program Straight Talk, a talk show concerned with the vital issues to today's young adults. If Continental Cablevision refuses to listen to the many voices of its Christian consumers, we have already decided we will boycott the company. We're pretty confident our family will be able to survive life without the additional few channels our basic service provides. Please stand together against this dogmatic decision and do not let this corporation delude you into believing the lies it has already told you. Please phone WTLW at 1-800-234-WTLW concerning what you can do about this injustice. Signed, Vance Hounce and Rhonda Hounce of Van Buren, Ohio. Also, another article appeared in the Letters to Editor, Dropping WTLW, a Great Loss. On August 25th, Continental Cablevision of Findlay is planning to stop carrying WTLW TV Channel 44, which is on Cablevision Channel 20. This will be a great loss to the many Cablevision subscribers who enjoy WTLW. WTLW offers an excellent selection of Christian programming, which is both spiritual and morally uplifting. In these days of declining moral values, we need more channels like WTLW, not less. Many sick and elderly people who can't go to church, as well as many who choose not to attend church, can still receive Christian teaching and preaching on WTLW. In addition, WTLW provides excellent coverage of local high school sports and other events. If you want to see WTLW remain on Findlay Cablevision, I encourage you to write and call Dan Bemis at Continental Cablevision in Findlay and express your desire to see WTLW remain on the cable. Signed, Ivan Lee of Findlay. Finally, this last small note from Betty Smith of Findlay. Drop Fox instead. This past week, I received notice in the mail that Continental Cablevision was going to drop WTLW Channel 44, located on Channel 20, sometime after August the 25th. WTLW is the best Christian television station available in this area and carries a good variety of religious denominations. If Continental Cablevision has to remove a station, I would suggest the Fox Channel. I urge everyone interested in Christian programming to call Mr. Bemis and Continental Cablevision to urge him to reconsider. As you see, DX Audio Service listeners, the changes which are going on in cable television and broadcast TV are very major.
This is Connie Volpe. Deb Callback from Iowa has an interesting story from her area. Here's her report.
Hello, Fred and everyone. KIOA here in Des Moines has what they call, or so far they've had it for several years, and I don't know how many years they've had it for, because I haven't been able to record it, but I'm thinking for about maybe 8 years or so. They've had what they call the Good Guy Reunion, and what they do is they bring gentlemen back, DJs back, that have broadcast in the past. And these particular conversations occurred on two different years. And one, there is a blind man that I admit that belonged to the DX Audio Service, and he happened to work with this gentleman, so I just called this gentleman up. And just for your information, Fred, the romance referred to in the phone calls is not. So here we go.
That's not a treat at eight.
I know, I didn't change mine when I was eight.
You still haven't. Hello.
Hi.
Who's there?
Debbie, I don't know. Is this Steve?
Steve Heathner, yes.
Yes. This is Debbie. And last Easter, right after you got back from the Good Guy Reunion, you and a friend of yours gave me a call.
I know who you are. You're a friend of our sightless engineer at the NBC, Paul Stebbins.
Right.
You were, I think you were kind of a girlfriend of Paul.
Yeah, at the time I was.
But the latest I've heard on that is that romance isn't as hot as it was. Huh?
No.
Huh? Do I know the listener?
Yeah.
How you doing, Debbie?
Oh, I'm just great.
Yeah, were we going to exchange tapes of the Good Guy Reunion or something? Did I send you what I was supposed to send you?
Okay, well, he had those the last time I heard. I know I sent them to him, and from there, I don't know.
Hmm.
He was supposed to give those to you.
Did you know he transferred down to TV in Burbank?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's going to be, I'm not sure what job he'll have, but he'll be doing NBC television now.
Well, that's neat.
And he's in a, just for the people who's kind of listening, what are they talking about? This is an amazing guy. He's blind, and his mom comes in and works the shift with him. And his mom is a serious broadcaster. She was the first woman that ever built an FM station. in America and in history, and did it with her hands, you know, and up in Wisconsin somewhere. They're a real interesting family, and they talk very highly of you, Debbie.
Yes, well, I would say the same for them. I was out there a couple of times, and they showed me a really excellent time.
Oh, that's what we like to hear. Well, what can we do, play a record for you or something like that?
Well, I hadn't had that in mind, but sure, you can play my favorite song, which is Sunny. I don't call radio stations too often, but I've listened to KIOA for 24 years.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. For all the people here, thank you, too. Bobby Hebb, Sonny?
Yes.
H-E-B-B? I remembered. I ate a lot of white flour and white sugar, but once in a while, my memory will flash back in.
Yeah, Deb tied, didn't he?
Long guy. It's good talking to you, Debbie.
Nice talking to you, too.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, 265-0940 is the call. Hello, this is Steve Heefner.
Hi, this is Deb.
Hi.
A friend of Paul's.
Oh, Debbie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you. How you been?
Real good, and yourself?
Not bad. You know, the tapes I got from the shows are ones that you made here, and I have those at home.
Great, yeah. Great. I'm glad you got them.
Yeah, it's very nice of you to send those along. Well, what's going on for you in Des Moines?
Well, just recovered from the ice storm, et cetera, et cetera.
That was a mess, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It still looks that way in some places.
My sister called it devastation. She took me out to take a look at the devastation. All I saw was a pile of sticks, but I guess you got to be here to get the... And then I thought, well, maybe this is nature's pruning, and she pointed out that, a lot of people's houses had holes in their roofs, and, you know, there was devastation and damage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to share too much with the folks here of a personal nature, but you have been being courted by one of our engineers from KMBR out in San Francisco. Is he still up to that now?
He's in the process of looking for employment right now.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, so I know he really likes to call you and burn up all his money on the phone bill.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear from you. What can I play for you?
Why don't we go with what we did last year, Sunny by Bobby Hebb?
Sunny? What it is? Bobby Hebb. Okay, you got it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
Okay, bye, Debbie.
Logs, logs, and more logs. Hello again, I'm John Bowker. You know, our NRC AM radio log is the recognized standard reference for listings of medium-wave broadcast stations in Canada and in the United States. However, those DXers who hunt for medium-wave signals from other countries need a source of international listings. The World Radio TV Handbook, usually referred to in DX News and elsewhere as the WRTH, provides listings of radio and TV broadcast stations throughout the world. For those DXers interested in foreign DX and not familiar with the WRTH, the following is a review of the 1992 edition of the World Radio TV Handbook. The WRTH is a commercial publication. It has been published annually for about 45 years. The editorial offices are in the Netherlands. The publisher is Billboard Limited of London. In size, the WRTH measures about 5 3/4 by 9 inches, and it's about an inch thick. It packs a lot of information into 590 pages of fairly small print. The largest section in the book is entitled World Radio, over 300 pages in length. It's a listing of radio broadcast services throughout the world, with the world divided into several geographical areas, and the countries in each area are listed in alphabetical order. In addition to listing the broadcasting stations in the several services, that is, long wave, medium wave, short wave, and FM, both government-owned and private, it includes such data as station mailing addresses and names of the key management and technical personnel, the languages broadcast, and the times of broadcasting in the various languages. Also included are maps of each section. The medium wave listings for North America are not complete. The low-power Canadian relay transmitters are not included, and stations with output powers under 10,000 watts in the United States are not included. So the WRTH does not replace the NRC AM radio log for domestic medium-wave DX information. A section in the handbook entitled Long and Medium Wave Stations contains 90 pages of station listings for the world, arranged by region and in numerical order by frequency. Omitted from these listings are the stations in the United States and Canada on the local frequencies, that is, 1230, 1240, 1340, 1400, 1450, and 1490, except those Canadian stations running more than 1,000 watts of power. Also left out are certain other low-power stations in the USA and Canada. The WRTH refers the reader to the NRC AM radio log for complete listings. Now, probably the most widely read section of the WRTH is the one that contains the reviews of consumer electronics. For 1992, there are reviews about 10 receivers presently offered for sale on the world market, and included are the Drake R8 and the JRC NRD535, and a range of portable receivers, some selling for less than $100. The writers of the reviews are knowledgeable people who claim to have one of the largest measuring laboratories in Europe. These WRTH reviews are written for the non-technical reader and are in a style which has been much copied by technical writers in other radio-oriented publications, including, yes, some who write for DX News. The WRTH contains some advertising. It is not excessive and is generally restricted to the first part of the book. And in the opinion of many, the advertising actually adds to the interest in the book. The WRTH changes little in format from year to year. It can be found in some libraries. The primary sales agent in the United States, and perhaps for Canada, is Watson Guptill Publications. Now, I'm going to spell that. W-A-T-S-O-N, and then the hyphen, and the second word is Guptill, G-U-P, that's P as in Peter, T-I-L-L. Watson Guptill Publications. They're located at 1515 Broadway. That's 1515 Broadway. New York, New York. And the zip code 10036. It is sold also by some mail order dealers in radio receivers and related products. The cover price of the 1992 edition is $19.95 in American dollars. The 1993 edition was expected to be available about the first of the year 1993.
Thanks, John. And as you notice, that article is somewhat dated, but it still pertains to the World Radio TV Handbook, a great publication which is now being edited by Andy Sennett. And Deb Kalbeck, one of our great DX Audio Service readers, also sent along some interesting articles from her local radio reading service. Let's give a listen to these right now.
Dateline Washington, D.C. An administrative judge ruled Friday that the current owners of Des Moines radio station KUCB-FM should lose their license because of character deficiencies. The judge said a Des Moines group headed by Larry Nevels should be awarded the license. The present license holder, known as Center for Study and Application of Black Economic Development, or CENTER, has 30 days to appeal the decision. Members of KUCB's board of directors said Friday they strongly disputed the findings of the administrative law judge, and they agreed that an appeal is certain. The appeal process will keep the present operators on the air at KUCB for at least 2 or 3 years, they said. We still have our call letters and our frequency of 89.3 and will be throughout the whole appeal process, and we believe we will be victorious, said Imam Ako Abdul Samad, one of the directors. FCC Administrative Law Judge Richard Sippel ruled that Center was disqualified because its officers willfully intended to deceive the FCC on several legal matters, including knowledge that its founder had been convicted of a felony. Further, Sippel ruled that Center was disqualified because it let the station go off the air for nearly 2 years without notifying the FCC. Sippel ruled that a third applicant, Iowa Acorn, was not qualified to hold the license. We won a major decision, said Nevels, president of Minority Communications, Inc. He acknowledged that the often emotional struggle for control of the radio station has divided the minority community and has been hard on him. We came into this thing to save it, said Nevels. KUCB, a minority-owned station, has had a long-running battle with the Federal Communications Commission over irregularities in its operation, a battle that came to a head when Center applied for renewal of its broadcast license. Abdul Samad and Hadasha Mayam, also a KUCB director, said Sipple's findings are totally incorrect. They said they had no knowledge that founder Charles Knox was a felon and no way of knowing that he had been convicted of a felony. Furthermore, the KUCB directors said FCC officials had unquestionably been notified that the station was off the air, a situation which was caused by the theft of equipment and money from the nonprofit station. In spite of this prosecution, KUCB will not change its policies and we will continue to report the truth, Mariam said. She also said that rather than vigorously trying to force a station serving minority people off the air, the FCC should be working to ensure that such a station can remain on the air. An appeal would go before a 3-member FCC review board. That decision could then be appealed to the full Federal Communications Commission, whose ruling could in turn go to U.S. Circuit Court in the District of Columbia and potentially to the Supreme Court. We're talking potentially years down the road until this thing is resolved, during which time Center can lawfully operate the station, said Gary Schoenmann, a lawyer with the FCC's Mass Media Bureau, which presented the government's case. Is Minority Communications prepared to hang in there through the likely appeals? I think we're in it for the long haul, said Nevels. I'm quite sure that we will hang in there. Throughout a trial-like proceeding last summer, a number of KUCB board members testified that the station's problems were caused by lack of funding and sabotage, and not by any intentional actions. However, Sipple ruled that the technical problems alone were not cause for disqualifying Center. Instead, he cited false claims on KUCB's license renewal application and false testimony last summer as among the reasons for disqualifying Center. And in a related story, decision is political persecution, KUCB board members say. Radio station KUCB's board members said Friday the nonprofit Des Moines operation provides an invaluable service to the community and they believe the federal government is trying to punish them for airing outspoken political views. We maintain that we are victims of political persecution, said board member Hadasha Mariam. KUCB takes very bold positions. We believe it is our obligation to speak the truth. Imam Ako Abdul Samad, also a board member, said the station's directors were not shocked by Friday's decision by an administrative law judge, which awarded the station's license to a Des Moines group headed by Larry Nevels, president of Minority Communications, Inc. KUCB has been under attack by the government for many years, Abdul Samad said, but the station will continue its goals of communicating, educating, and organizing, he added. The community feels that we are a bloodline, Mariam said. We not only report the news, but we help people. And when you embark upon that line, you are going to run into troubles with the FCC. Des Moines police officers have disputed KUCB's view that it provides a community service. Police officers have bitterly complained that anti-police comments on the black-oriented station have placed the lives of police officers in jeopardy. Vince Valdez, chief union steward for Des Moines police officers, said Friday he was pleased to hear of the ruling against KUCB operators. Obviously, they have been very negative in their view. I think it is time for a change, definitely, if there is another group that can come in and serve the community well without inciting people, Valdez said. We are glad. It is something we were hoping would happen. KUCB and its staff haven't been too kind to the Des Moines police, he added. Abdul Samad and Mariam said they believe their station does air controversial issues, but it is open to broadcasting all opinions, including those from people with contrary political views. They also said that too much emphasis has been placed on certain programs. For example, Islamic programming is aired, but only for 3 hours per week. Furthermore, only 3 of 10 members of the FM station's board of directors are Muslims, they said. The station's listeners include many white suburban people. Despite the ruling, it was business as usual on Friday for programs on KUCB, and there was no hesitancy about making plans for the future because the station can remain on the air while appeals on the federal ruling continue for several years, Abdul Samad and Mariam said. They said they are proceeding with plans for a KUCB banquet on May 8th at the Hotel Fort Des Moines that will feature the Reverend James Bevel, a former strategist for the Reverend Martin Luther King, and Amelia Robinson, a longtime civil rights activist and author.
Oh, did you see today's Wall Street Journal trying to cheer itself up? Reports on the lady who was shopping for a frilly nightgown as a birthday present for her pet poodle. They didn't have any, but the store clerk said, if you'll measure the dog, we'll have one made. And the lady said, oh, I couldn't do that. I want it to be a surprise. Page two.
In 1948, 1 year after Jackie Robinson broke the color line in baseball, Memphis radio station WDIA crossed the line in broadcasting when the white-owned operation converted to an all-black format. The transformation is celebrated in the recently released book, Wheeling on Beale, and in the exhibit, Making Black Waves, at the Center for Southern Folklore in Memphis. But as Ron Schachter reports, WDIA's success over the past 40 years is the best homage to the station.
Rufus is here, so hoot and holla. Right here on WDIA, the voice of Memphis, Tennessee.
The early days of WDIA's venture into black programming often began and ended with Nat D. Williams. What made Williams different from other disc jockeys, besides his skin color, was that he also taught history at the local high school, and his fellow DJs were either educational, religious, or cultural leaders in the black community. That, according to Judy Pizer, the director of the Center for Southern Folklore in Memphis, gave WDIA an unusual appeal and an immediate following.
All of a sudden, the people who were listening to the station had people on that radio station who were their heroes. And because of that, people really cared about that station immensely. One, it was playing music that people wanted to hear, whether it was gospel or blues or jazz, but it also filled a void in their community. It gave people a voice in a community that had never had a voice before.
Not that the community wasn't being entertained at the same time. The station featured on-air personalities such as Theo Bless My Bones Wade, Martha Jean the Queen Steinberg, singer-comedian Rufus Thomas, as well as a rising blues star.
Now here it is, 3 o'clock in the morning.
To serve, to entertain, to inform, and to educate.
Martha Jean Steinberg began her career at WDIA in the 1950s and was one of the few black women in the radio industry at that time. She's now vice president and part owner of a leading black format station in Detroit and remembers that WDIA also showed how a black station could be commercially viable.
We were able to sell, and we let the whole nation know that there was a certain market of consumers. WDIA established the record that blacks were special consumers and millions of dollars could be made. So we got the record industry involved. Everybody with wares to sell was ready to come.
WDIA's expansion to 50,000 watts added an audience from much of Tennessee, Arkansas, and Mississippi. The station's public motto became 50,000 watts of goodwill, and it soon became clear that WDIA was reaching out with more than music and commercials. At the Senior Citizen Center in South Memphis, it's not hard to find people who can tick off their favorite shows 30 and 40 years ago. But what they best recall are WDIA's community services.
The things I remember is the good things that they did for us, like taking handicapped kids to school. At Christmas time, you'd get really good food baskets.
They used to have talent show, you know, where children were going to school. They would have them to appear on the radio and do an announcement. And I thought that was nice. They all, you know, did for the young as well as the old.
And then there were the station's more personalized public services.
One of our friends just called us a minute ago. He lost his false teeth. He lost his false teeth. Listen, friends, your set of false teeth cost you about $200. Here's where it was. He was coming from the Liberty Cash grocery he had met by.
My request line is 535-9342. This is the new one from Patti LaBelle.
Today, WDIA features what's called black contemporary music. The disc jockeys no longer work behind a plate glass window at street level, and the station competes for black audiences with at least five strong rivals. In the past several years, the station has emerged as a leader in black talk radio, where callers raise issues from discrimination in lending to the dumping of toxic waste in the inner city.
This hazardous waste thing is a serious thing. We really need to stay on top of it because wonder why people will send their waste other places. We don't need that money that bad, I don't believe. Do you think that?
I wouldn't think so.
And while those associated with WDIA agree that the station has come a long way, they also say it hasn't strayed far from its original mission.
Friends and neighbors, good night and good morning.
For Crossroads, I'm Ron Schachter in Memphis, Tennessee.
And that feature came to us from our good friend, Mr. Mike Dugan, up in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. Thanks very much, Mike, for enclosing that to us. Mike's also one of these strange guys like myself who collects novelty records and interesting vinyl recordings. And to wind up side one of this cassette, we're going to hear the story about the Three Little Pigs.
Well, now, little ones, this is your Uncle Jazbo with another bedtime story. The Three Little Pigs. Once upon a time in the land of Ooh Papa Dow, there lived three little pigs. One of them was very cool, another was more on the commercial side, and the third was definitely square. One day, as the three little pigs were taking five, they heard that a big bad wolf was making the local scene on a one-nighter. And knowing that his approach signaled danger, they immediately set about the business of constructing shelter. The square little pig swung a quick GI loan and in cut time threw up a real frantic bungalow, complete with wall-to-wall floors and a TV antenna. The commercial little pig laid out for a few bars and then moved into a prefab joint out of the high rent district. But the cool little pig goofed altogether and at the last possible minute built himself a real purple light shack out of clarinet reeds and scotch tape. Well, sir, the big bad wolf blew in as advertised, and the first place he went looking for action was to the shack of the third little pig. And applying his hairy knuckles to the door, he laid down a crazy paradiddle and said, "Man, it's a raid." "Jack," said the pig, "it's after closing." "Don't hand me that jazz," the wolf said. "Open up." "Sorry," said the pig, "you gotta make reservations." "Charlie," said the wolf, "if you don't open that door, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down." "Just tell me one thing," said the pig. "What condition is your lip in?" Enraged at this impertinence, the wolf came on like Joshua, the walls came tumbling down, and in no time at all, the little pig was really gone. The following day, the wolf knocked at the door of the second little pig. "Who calls like?" said the pig. "Never mind," said the wolf. "Open the portal and give me some skin, pig." "Or give me some pigskin, as the case may be." "Not by the hairs on my chinny chin chin," said the pig. "Bless my soul," said the wolf, "it's dizzy." "No, it ain't," said the pig. "Well, then it must be, Jazbo," said the wolf. "Wrong again," said the pig. "Tell you what," said the wolf, "I'll just peek through your keyhole." "In a pig's eye you will," said the little pig, which angered the wolf so much that he forthwith blew the joint down and swallowed up the pig. The next day, the wolf fell by the domicile of the cool little pig and rapped on the door. "Have no fear," he said. "Big Joe is here." Man, said the pig, you've had it. Blow. Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I understand there's a session going on here today, said the wolf. I'd like to sit in. I'm hip, said the pig. And if you'll just slide down the chimney as per instructions in the script, I'll really give you something to sit in. At this, the wolf leapt to the roof and in so doing dislodged the brick, which fell down the chimney and clanged against the great iron pot in the fireplace. What was that? The wolf shouted. E flat, said the pig, and man, it's your chorus. Fall in. And fall in the wolf did, down the chimney and into the boiling pot. The little pig clapped the cover on the pot and let it simmer for 48 over a low flame. When at last he lifted the cover, he smiled broadly. Ah, he said, my favorite soup, cream of nowhere.
Yo, Daddy-O. Kind of an interesting song on the end of the tape from Mike Dukin up in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. Thanks a lot, Mike, for singing that along. You know, it's kind of interesting, the parallel between the DX hobby, the radio listening hobby, and music and other such things. You know, it's kind of funny when you go through the ranks of the DX Audio Service National Radio Club members, you find that there's a lot of us that have some interesting hobbies, like collecting records. Like myself, I collect novelty records. I don't really collect the records. I just get them onto tape. I try to get as many as I can onto tape. So what I usually do is if somebody's got something, I'll borrow the CD or the record and put it onto tape and give it right back to them. But it's kind of funny that there are so many people that collect jazz recordings, novelty recordings, air checks, jingles, you know, what have you. And, you know, it's a lot of times you just find it out from just conversations with somebody on the telephone. So, you know, it goes without saying that if ever you're doing a muse on the DX Audio Service, might just pay to advertise. Might just pay to, you know, mention something like, hey, does anyone have a air check of this or a copy of that? Be very, very interesting. Well, that wraps up side one of tape number two. And on the next tape, I think we're going to get into some more stories and read some more out of the newspaper. So with that, we'll just conclude side 1 of tape number 2 from the DX Audio Service After Dark number 4 series.